Welcome back to the Legend of You podcast, where we empower you to unleash the legend within by sharpening your mental faculties, improving relationships, and strengthening your connection to the universe. I am your host, Mr. Tenacity. I am joined by my lovely co-host, Linnell Osinga, and now is the time to unleash the legend within. Welcome to the Legend of You podcast, where we talk about how to stop surviving and begin thriving in life through unleashing the legend within. And today I have a special guest for you guys. Udmi is here and she's in the financial services, but she has a lot and a ton of value to add to this community. So Udmi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm happy to have you. So for those that don't know who you are, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got where you are today in life?
Yes. So my name is Udmi, like you just mentioned. I live in Montreal and I work in the financial services industry. I have an educational background in finance. And a lot of the times I also like to say to people that I am Italian Bengali. So I usually tell people that I am Italian by birth and Bengali by blood. So I was born and raised in Italy. My parents are from Bangladesh and I've been living in Montreal for quite some time. And so I also say that I am Canadian by law. And I do a lot of things when it comes to supporting causes. I do a lot of things related to volunteering and I support causes such as women's empowerment. And I do that through my blog, my YouTube channel. And I also try to educate people also through a lot of volunteering activities as well.
That's awesome. So how did you, what is it like having two different backgrounds or different cultures growing up? I mean, was that tough for you or was it pretty easy?
It was very tough, like very, very tough, especially when I was growing up. Because I feel like I could never relate to anyone because when I was growing up in Italy, there were not that immigrant kids. So when I would go to school, I just feel like I was a stranger because everyone was pretty much Italian around me. There were no kids who were like from Bangladesh, for instance, or let's say from China or from other countries. So a lot of the times when I was like trying to be friends with Italian people, it was hard for me because I feel like they could not relate to me. I could not relate to them. But then I also struggled a little bit in my home because I felt like I was so much influenced by the Italian culture that even at home, I feel like I was not belonging completely to the Bengali culture. So I struggled a little bit in both places, both outside of my home and inside of my home. So sometimes I felt like, I don't know if this is a good thing, but through time, and I want to say pretty recently, I do feel like being diverse, it's actually a strength. So I do try to see it as a positive thing. And I feel like living in Canada helped me a little bit to see that because for instance, when I would like meet people and people would ask me questions like, well, where are you from? I would always like blank out for a second because I was like, what exactly am I saying? Am I saying I'm Italian? Am I saying I'm Bengali? And I still do struggle a little bit with it. So I remember like times where I would like spend half an hour explaining everyone like the story about why I have these two cultures and people would question it. Like if I would say I'm Bengali, people would question it because they would hear my Italian accent. And if I would say I'm Italian, people would just stare at me and be like, but you don't look Italian. Mm-hmm. So people would question it regardless. So now I say I'm Italian Bengali because I embrace both equally. But I still do struggle with it because when I'm like filling up, let's say questionnaires or forms, they ask about your nationality and I never know which box to take. Like, do I tick two boxes? Do I do tick one? And it's still a struggle. But I want to say that I do embrace both equally. It's something that took me a while to embrace and to accept.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think it's exceptional. Right. And I think that it's a special thing to have. Not very many people can say that they have, you know, two cultures, you know, within them. And I know that must have been a big struggle, as you said, but I think it's amazing. So moving forward in life, how did you find the financial industry? Like what drove you in that direction?
So basically, I did my university in Canada, whereas all my studies were in Italy. So I did not touch finance when I was in Italy. Like I was doing like financial calculation a little bit in my math classes. But when I moved to Canada and I was like enrolling to do my major, I actually enrolled to do the to do international business, and finance was actually my minor. But then I remember like how much I actually disliked international business. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go and try my minor. So I tried a few finance classes and I just realized how much I was in love with it. And so I realized how much I was like fascinated by the actual topic. I was mesmerized by my professors because they would speak finance and I was like in love with them immediately. And I think I was just in love with them, with their brain. And for me, it was like music to my ears. It was so much enjoyable. I enjoyed so much going to my finance classes, and I started to see how that was also impacting my grades, because my grades started to become also a bit better. And so I switched to finance. It became my major. And so I took like all the major classes for finance. And because of my GPA, I was also able to enroll to a special program, which is the honors program in finance. And I wrote a thesis about art and wine investing. And then I graduated and I was super upset about this whole graduation, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be studying finance. So I graduated, I started working, and then I feel like there was a void in my life. So I actually took some extra finance courses. I did a certification, which is called the Canadian Security Course. And then after that, I actually was like, you know what? I want to keep learning finance. So now I also enrolled into the CFA program. So I'm also working towards getting that designation. And for me, it's like when I think about finance, I really think of it as my passion. I just feel like it's so dynamic that it goes well with my personality, because I'm also a very dynamic person. And finance is always changing. There are so many like new things. And I think we also need more women in finance. We don't see that too much in the financial services industry. And I noticed that, especially when I was going to school, how like there was a little percentage of women in the class. And I do see it a little bit in the workplace. In some companies, I do see them as being very male dominated, but I don't get myself discouraged. You know, I try to be the example. Like I try to work for those companies so that I could be an example for other women that, you know, you can do it. Even though it's male dominated, you can be the representation for the other women as well. So I try to do a little bit of that.
Well, I think that's amazing. And I think you're right. I think that we need more females, in most industries, but yeah, definitely in the financial industry. Has it been tough being, you know, a minority in that field?
Has it been tough? Yes. In some ways, yes, because especially during the COVID situation, like I did some job interviews, and I would remember that the first thing I would look at was the management team within the company. And every time I would see that it was very like on the board or on the management team, I would see just a lot of like men. I sometimes would feel discouraged, because I would be like, but what is the diversity? What is the representation? We need more women working there. And I feel like sometimes as women, we are a little bit insecure when it comes to these things. We don't believe in our abilities. We don't believe in our skills. And sometimes I also felt very discouraged and demotivated, to the point that I didn't want to go further with the interviews. But then I was also thinking that if I want to lead by example, I have to go forward with this. And so when I would actually do interviews, I would actually ask the other person, like, what do you do to promote diversity? Because I think, you know, it's only through communication that you can bring change. And I would not be scared of asking this type of questions, because I think it's important to bring awareness from both sides, you know, also from the company side, the management team side. So I would always like be really sincere about this, and they were also sincere to me too. They would tell me things like, we're honest with you, we're going to be honest with you, we're not doing that much, but we do want to promote more women into leadership position. And I like the sincerity that came along those conversations. So I would never, even though it was difficult for me, but I would never let that be a challenge. I would take it as something that, you know, I want to face and I want to do bring that change.
Well, I love it. I love how you said you have to lead by example. I'm a firm believer in that. And you are, you're leading the way, whether you know it or not. There's a whole bunch of people watching what you're doing. And I believe in you. I believe that you're going to. So let me ask you this, because I think that finances, it's a hard thing for a lot of people. Let me bring it down to just the normal everyday person, right? Would you have any advice? Because I saw one of your blogs about the rich dad, poor dad, right? And steps that he had in, you know, becoming wealthy. What advice would you give, you know, people that just everyday advice to help them in their financial journeys?
I think there are so many things that I could tell to people, but I think one of the most important thing that I do want to tell people is to always invest your money, and to invest it into like safe options, like to invest them into equities, for instance, into like index funds or ETFs. And I think it's very important to invest your money, because when you invest, your money is growing like in a compounding way. So your money is compounded, and that will help you to be financially free. So if you are achieving financial freedom, one thing to do is you want to invest your money. And there are also other things that people can do, like on their daily basis, such as set up an emergency fund, or for instance, have insurance, which I think a lot of people like overlook, because they think, oh, I don't need insurance, you know, like nothing is going to happen to me. But when something happens and money has to go through your pocket, you don't want that. You know, you're just putting an extra burden on yourself. So for instance, like buy insurance products, invest for your retirement. That's another one. And I think people don't care about retirement, because especially the young generation, they're like, oh, you know, I'm young, I don't need to invest for my retirement. But you want to start young because you want that money to grow. And I think another one is also to spend within your limits. And I think this is one of the misconceptions, because people tend to spend like over the limits, and that's how you end up having consumer debt. And you don't want that, because then it just makes it so much hard on you. So these are like little things that people can do, you know, like if you're earning, let's say $100, you don't want to spend $150, you know, you want to keep it to $50. So these are things that people can do to be, you know, financially responsible. And of course, you also want to educate yourself through books. So Rich Dad Poor Dad is one of them, which I really, really enjoyed. And there are so many books out there that people are not aware of. And, you know, to build financial wealth, it doesn't take that much time. And it doesn't take that much knowledge, because I read a book which is called The Latte Factor. And it says how, like, you know how we spend like $5, I want to say $5, although it's a little bit more now, $5 for a latte every day. That money, if you like think about it on a weekly basis, it's a lot of money. So instead of like putting that money towards like your lattes, you can just put it towards like into an investment, and you will see how that will grow over time. And I'm not saying that you should not be drinking lattes, but you want to be disciplined when it comes to finances, and you don't want to spend money on like useless things every day. You can just make your lattes at home and bring it to work. So for instance, you can put that $5 towards your investment, and you will see how that will grow. So you can buy many more lattes in the future. So these are some of the things. I think these are some of the things that people can do.
Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful. I love Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was one of my first financial books that I ever read, like actually sat down to read. And then I love The Compound Effect book as well. That one was a very enlightening book. But yeah, and you know, to your point, I read I think this was in Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've read Atomic Habits, but he talked about, you know, instead of taking that money that you were spent on the date, still take it, but put it towards a fund and label the fund like my trip to Paris or whatever you're trying to do. But instead of wasting it on something that you really don't need, you can put it towards, you know, that thing that you've really wanted to do, whatever that might be. So yeah, definitely. I love what you said. And so that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What are the next steps for you coming up? Are you working on anything? Do you have any aspirations that you're after?
Yes. So funny enough, I actually just published my first book. I self-published it. So it was my first thing that I did. And I talk about a little bit about discovering my own identity and how I struggle between two cultures. And I do talk about in this book, like different episodes that happen in my life. And I know that a lot of South Asian women can relate to it. They do relate to it because I have read similar books. So this is one book that I just published, and it was not in my plan, but I'm a go-getter. So I do get to have, like, I do achieve my goals. And I'm now, right now, I'm planning to launch a course in Italian, because Italian is also another, it's, I want to say it's my mother language, although my mother language is actually Bengali, but since I was a kid, I spoke Italian. So I'm planning to launch an Italian course. And in the next couple of months, I'm also planning to launch two finance courses, one related to valuations and the other one about corporate finance. And those are more like short-term plan, but I do have, I want to say medium to long-term plan, which is to write my second book. And I do enjoy writing books. Honestly, like, I love reading books, but since I launched my first book, I just have that sense of ownership that I can tell people I'm a published author right now. So I do like that. I do feel like, I feel proud of myself that I'm able to do all these things, and I'm very persistent and I don't give up. So these are some of the plans that I do have in plan for the next couple of months, years, and so forth.
Well, that's amazing. I think that you're right. You have every right to walk around with your head up and you know, your shoulders high, because how many people can say they're a published author, right? Like, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. I'm excited to see where you're going. And, you know, I would love to have you on once you publish your next book or your next couple courses. That would be amazing. So if people wanted to reach out to you, how could they connect?
So I have my YouTube channel. It's called Urmi Hossain. People can just go and subscribe to my channel. People can also connect with me on LinkedIn, and it's called Urmi Hossain. And I also have my own blog. It's called myways.ca, and people can subscribe, read my articles. Then they can also message me, and I usually available to, like, I respond pretty quickly.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So you've told us a whole bunch of cool stuff, right? Uh-huh. You dropped some gems, but if you could leave the audience with one last thing, what would that be?
So one last thing, basically it's related more about embracing your culture and your identity. And I want to tell to the audience that diversity, it's not about how we differ from each other, but it's more about how we embrace our own uniqueness, because I think our uniqueness is our own strength. And that's how I like to see myself. And I think it's important that we all see as being unique creature in this world, where we can bring something valuable that the other person cannot do. So I think everyone has the magic within us.
Oh man, I love it. I believe the same thing. I think a wonderful point. And yeah, it's within us. It always has been. We just have to do something with it, right? So yes. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and, you know, just dropping some gems and sharing some time with my audience. And to my audience, it's not good enough to sit here and listen to two people jaw jack for 30 minutes. You have to take action, implement the things that she was talking about so you can have a better life. Right? And you can become the legend that you really are. And until next time, go kill it.